track 12. And here's Brian to introduce this week's feature article.
This week I would like to share with you something of the story of Storybook Dads. Storybook Dads is a charity based at Dartmoor Prison. Its main purpose is to provide facilities for prisoners to record bedtime stories for their children. Until last year, I had been a trustee of the charity for about 14 years, but I've now retired. A little while ago, I went back to Dartmoor to talk to Sharon Berry, OBE, who founded the charity 20 years ago and is now the chief executive. I also talked to a couple of the prisoners who work for Storybook Dads editing the recordings. The recording environment for the interviews wasn't ideal, but you'll soon get used to the slightly hollow sound. The whole interview lasts about 20 minutes. But before we listen to those conversations, here's a short extract of a prisoner reading a story. You'll hear that music and sound effects have been added to the recording, which has also been edited to take out any mistakes. The final version is sent out to the family on CD. This is the opening of The Lonely Giraffe by Peter Blight, after which we'll join Sharon at Dartmoor.
Hi Rach, this is Daddy. How are you, darling? I've got a book here for you. I hope you like it. It's called The Lonely Giraffe. The jungle animals were really quite a friendly bunch. Every day, the parrots first to shake their feathers and wake up the other animals. The elephants would trumpet, "Oh, good morning," and the snakes would hiss, "Hello." Even the grumpy lion managed a friendly growl. All the animals met near the river for breakfast every morning to discuss the jungle news. Everyone took their turn to speak, but no one listened to the giraffe. The giraffe was just too tall. By the time he had spread his long legs and lowered his head to the ground, the other animals had lost interest. So the giraffe would lift his long neck and walk away.
Good morning, Sharon. In my introduction, I've described the purpose of Storybook Dads as providing facilities for prisoners to record stories for their children. But it's much more than that, of course. Can you tell us a bit more about what Storybook Dads actually does and what it achieves?
As you say, we help prisoners to record stories for their children, bedtime stories as a rule, there are some other gifts that they can do. So our purpose really is to maintain ties between prisoners and the children for the time that they're apart, to help to keep relationships going, build relationships, stop the family unit from breaking down, which can happen when families are split apart. So that's really the basis of what we do. Also, it helps the children to know that they're loved and they're missed, and better cope with being separated from their parent. And for prisoners themselves, it shows them that they can do something meaningful from behind bars and increase their sense of value as a parent.
When did all this start? How did it come into being?
Well, it's a bit of a long story, but I was volunteering at Channingswood Prison in Devon with the writer in residence there who was helping to set up a prison radio station. So sometimes in prisons they have like a small prison radio station just local to that prison. It just goes out to those prisoners. And she had heard about a game like this. Well, she'd heard a prison officer had done this many years ago, somewhere in a prison had recorded a story for a prisoner. So we started to implement that on the prison radio sort of station, as well as prisoners doing music and plays. We started using it to do the stories for their children. Anyway, that radio station folded after a while, lack of funding and so many things do in prison. And that was the end of that, really, after quite a short little spurt. Then I trained to become a prison teacher, and I started working in Dartmoor Prison. And it was then that I just kept remembering how much it meant to prisoners' families. I knew there wasn't any funding in prison to do it. That had already been demonstrated with the prison radio. There's just no money for these sort of extracurricular activities. So I thought, well, maybe I'll start as a charity. So that's what I did in 2003. from Dartmoor Prison.
20 years ago.
That's quite very small to begin with. I just had an empty prison cell I was given to work from.
Yeah. How big is Storybook Dance now in terms of outreach?
We work in approximately 100 prisons.
Wow.
That includes women's prisons and YOIs, which is Young Offending Institute. About 100.
I was going to ask, it's called Storybook Dads. What about female prisons? You can't call it Storybook Dads there.
No, the reason we kept the name Storybook Dads is as it grew, we started to win awards and recognition for our work, and the name became quite well known. So then we started doing women's prisons. And we thought about changing the name to Storybook Families, but it just didn't have the same ring. So we've kept the overall charity name of Storybook Dads, but in women's prisons we operate as Storybook Mums.
Right.
Oh, and I will just point out as well, although we say Storybook Dads and Storybook Mums, we also encourage like grandparents to take part, uncles and aunties, older brothers and sisters, you know, they may have a younger child that they care about. So the name, we keep the name because it's, you know, we've become known as that name, but it's not really quite accurate as what we do.
Okay. I don't think, as far as I know, that any of our listeners have had direct experience of life inside prison.
Mm.
Can you tell us about some of the challenges of operating a scheme like this?
Yeah, well, technology for a start. It's really difficult to get technology into prisons because of security implications, which are just too difficult to talk about now. They don't really like you bringing tech into prison. So, for instance, you can't bring a mobile phone into prison. If you do, you'll get in a great deal of trouble. So getting permission to get the audio recorders, the video recorders, the computers, because, of course, we use computers for the editing process, you know, that was quite difficult. In the beginning, just getting people on board to believe in what we were doing, because they've got far more important things to do. But, you know, like in some prisons, you need prisoners escorted back and forth to different places. They don't have freedom of movement from one department to another. You need the cooperation of officers. For a while, it was difficult to get people on board with what we do. But I think as we became more established, prison service staff realised that if prisoners took part in Storybook Dads and Storybook Mums, they're happier within themselves, and they're less likely to be upset and causing trouble on the wings in their day-to-day life, because if they're maintaining their family ties, at least that's something that's helping them, and so they're less stressed. So I would say the tech was hard. Getting people to believe in what we were doing was quite hard in the beginning. And just finding somewhere quiet to record can be really tricky. In some prisons, almost nigh impossible, I would say. You know, all these kind of things impact. Everything has to be locked away all the time, and everything's in a cupboard.
Are you counted.
Counted, that's it. You have to count everything at the end of the day. Just the security. Okay, so everything takes twice as long as it would take if you weren't doing it in a prison.
Yeah, and people won't think that you have to count for things like scissors, getting a pair of scissors to use.
Absolutely.
Anything sharp.
Yeah, because we like to do sort of little craft activities as well, but getting a pair of scissors into a prison is really difficult. Because we used to try and do other activities, and we were doing something once with what was like fine work, a bit like plasticine. Now that is also a security risk, because apparently they could make an impression of a key on it, the prisoners could. You have to always work on the assumption that prisoners will try to do these things, even if they're not going to, because that's the way security works.
You said a little while back that Storybook Dads operates in about 100 prisons across the country. Does that mean Storybook Dads has staff dotted around the country?
No, we don't. How it works is we only have our staff in our prison in Dartmoor and Channings Wood, and we have another staff member working from home. So we've got 11 paid staff. So how it works, if another prison wants to join us, it's usually done through the library. So then the librarian will run the scheme. So they need to buy their own recording equipment and their own books, and they do their recordings at that prison. So just say, for instance, if it's Wandsworth Prison, the librarian runs it there, they do their recordings there, they send their recordings to us at Dartmoor Prison, where our editing centre is, and that is where our team will take out mistakes, any noises we don't want, or they've sort of messed up when they're reading, and we'll add music and sound effects, so if there's wizards or dogs or, you know, dragons, rockets, we can put all that in. If it's a video recording, we've got pictures of the book scanned, and we can put those pictures in as well, so that they've got, you know, a film of dad reading and or mum, and then pictures of the book. And then we would send the completed stories back to Wandsworth Prison for them to then distribute to the families.
On a CD?
on a CD or a DVD at the moment, but we have got plans afoot to change that.
What we haven't made clear, I think, so far is that the work of editing here at Dartmoor is done largely by prisoners. Mm. How did that come about, and how dependent are we on prisoners?
Well, it came about when I first started it, really, because I was doing it all myself. And editing takes a long time. So a story that takes 5 minutes to read could take an hour, two, to edit, depending on the quality of the recording, how he read it. So it's quite time-consuming. So it kind of made sense to train prisoners who've got lots and lots of time to do the editing. So that's what we started to do. We would recruit some prisoners from the wings. We would train them in audio or video editing. And they come to work with us every day. That's their job. So in prison, prisoners generally have jobs. They might work in the laundry or the kitchen, or they might go to education. We have our editors that come to us every day. Yeah, so we train them to do all the audio and video production for all the other prisons. And they love their work because it's interesting, it's varied. They feel like they're doing something really worthwhile because each story that they do is going to a child somewhere.
Yeah.
Had an editing suite, a decent size, since 2005. And it works really well because kind of know how to create an environment that we still adhere to all the security rules and everything, but they feel part of a team. You know, we are part of a team, albeit we're staff and they're prisoners, you know, and there's a boundary and we've got keys and they haven't. We still manage to create a team where they feel part of it and they enjoy coming to work, and it's mutual respect. And despite what people may think about prison, you don't feel every time you come to work that you're dicing with death every day. You're at any moment you're going to get attacked. You know, most prisoners just want to get on with their sentence and get out.
I was going to ask, I mean, have there been significant problems managing a group of prisoners?
No, not really. We've always had, when we were at Dartmoor, when we first started, you know, we had a team of 4, 5, 6 and then 8 editors. We moved to Channings Wood in 2016 and they offered a much larger premises under the understanding we would have a bigger team of editors. So then we had a team of 16. That was harder to manage, simply because you needed to be fairly quiet to edit. And with 16, we found it was just a bit too much chat. It wasn't like they were unruly, you know, but you don't like talking to grown men like children. They say, come on now, you know, quiet now. You just didn't feel right. But you felt we ended up having to do that a lot. And when you talk about managing, only in terms of keeping them from talking too much was the most serious thing it ever got. Every room has got an alarm bell that you can push should you ever need to push it, but we've never had to do that. Yeah. We've always worked really well. Now we're back at Dartmoor, we've gone down to 8 editors because that's a good number for us. You can get as much work out of 8 editors who are working consistently than 16 who are distracting each other and putting each other off. So we've found our sweet spot. Yeah.
Do prisoners get paid for coming in to work for us, Storybook Dads?
Yeah, the prison pays their wages. The prison pays everybody's wages. I think they get about £14 a week, maybe, something like that, which, you know, obviously doesn't sound very much, but then they've got all their accommodation paid for and their meals.
Yes.
So that's for them to buy their little extras if they want some biscuits or if they need phone credit, toothpaste, shampoo, their sundries that they need.
You said that there are 11 staff with Storybook Dads. Most of those are part-time, are they not?
Yeah, they're all part-time, except for me.
Except for you.
And my colleague Kizzy has been doing full-time.
We mentioned earlier on the fact that the stories go out on CDs to the families. Is the technology changing?
Yeah, it is changing because CDs and DVDs are becoming obsolete gradually in the community. At the moment, we're still sending them and it seems to be fine because people have Xboxes and PlayStations and stuff like that. But we have been working on an app that is just about complete now. It's took a long time because it's quite, because of all the security issues. But what this will mean is that families will be able to stream their stories. They'll be stored up there in the cloud, wherever that is, and the families will stream their stories on like their iPads or phones or laptops, rather than getting a physical disc through the post, which is a shame because it's nice to get a physical gift through the post, but that's not the way society is working anymore, so we have to move with the times, and that's what we're doing.
When does that come into effect, do you know?
I think it'll be sort of January, February, it'll start rolling out. It won't happen overnight. Prisons will gradually get on board. The families have to register with the app, so it's going to take a year as families get on board with it and the prisons change the processes.
We haven't talked about the scale of things. I mean, how many stories are sent out?
Well, pre-COVID, we were doing maybe 5,000 a year. COVID hit us quite hard because obviously we couldn't go into prison. And when they came back on board, some prisons, you know, they were letting staff in, and some prisons they weren't letting staff in. And being as it's the librarians who usually do the recordings, you know, they weren't allowed to open because they weren't allowed to have prisoners coming in, browsing, touching loads of books, and then going off spreading their COVID germ. Some prisons got on board, and so I think in 2020 we did a few hundred. 2021 we were back up to a couple of thousand. It's still taking some time, and I think even in the community, COVID still has an effect in terms of staff and retention. It seems to have had some sort of hangover.
Absolutely.
But I think by next year, 2024, we'll be back up to our sort of 5,000 mark.
From my time with Storybook Dads, I've seen some of the feedback that comes from families, and it's heartwarming, it really is. Can you give us a sense of what Storybook Dads achieves, what measures there are, or just what indicators you've got these days about the impact?
I don't know if our stats off by heart, but something like, you know, 96% of prisoners will say that taking part in the project has enriched and enhanced their relationship with their child. A lot of families will say that it has, probably 90-something percent will say that it's encouraged their child to take an interest in reading and is more interested in books. We get a lot of anecdotal things like children who take their disc to school to show all their friends, you know, which is a marvellous thing because having a parent in prison can be something that's very isolating and make, you know, and it's not something you necessarily want to share. Being able to take that disc into prison, I remember we heard a story about a little girl who took Gruffalo in, and all the other kids was played to the class and they all loved it. And then they were all waiting for the sequel. So then she had to get on to her dad to say, you know, they want to hear Gruffalo's Child, Dad, when are you going to do that? So that's so marvellous for a kid who could be so negatively impacted by the imprisonment of their parent to have a sense of pride. Yeah, we just get lots of feedback from families saying how much it means they play it over and over. It brings so much comfort to the children. They can sleep at night when perhaps prior to that they were sort of upset having nightmares, because you must remember that very often the last time a child may have seen their parent was at point of arrest.
Let's just put the mum thing into context, can we? Because the numbers are so different between the men and women, aren't they? The last time I looked at it was something like 80,000 men, male prisoners, and something like 5,000 female prisoners.
That's roughly right. And our production figures reflect that. Yeah, it is mostly men.
Thank you for your time, Sharon. Storybook Dads is something I was deeply proud to be involved with this over a number of years as a trustee, and I just wish you and all the team well for the future. Thank you.
Well, and thank you, Brian, because you were with us for a long time as a trustee and did lots of talks for us and spreading the word. So, you know, thank you for your input over the years as well.
My pleasure. Okay. Right, let's have a word with a couple of the lads, can we?
Yeah.
Now we join Neil and Esley for a brief conversation. You may find Esley a bit difficult to understand, but it is worth persevering.
I've got Neil and Esley with me now. Both of them are prisoners working with Storybook Dads. And I just wanted to ask them if they can tell me, how long have you been involved with Storybook Dads, Neil?
About 7 months now.
Right.
Me and Esley both started at the
same time. All right. 7 months.
Why did you get involved?
Firstly, it was to send some stories to my kids. But
all right.
After that, I come up and see what it was like up here and everything that we do, and it was just good to get involved with a good cause.
I was told that it would be a good job, really. And then when I came down, just like now, I saw what everyone was doing. I'd done a story from our door, and then, it just felt like good to get involved.
Do you have any experience of working with computers and this kind of software at all?
Done a bit of music before and producing, so I worked with Logic. So it was so much more easier for me to do Adobe. It was just harder for me to do the videos, because I've never done that stuff before.
Yeah.
But you adapt quickly.
I'd used the video software before,
but
I hadn't ever used the audio software. So.
Yeah, well, you've got the hang of video, the audio is not that difficult, is it? How long did it take you both to sort of get the hang of things?
A couple of weeks, really, to get sort of on top of it, and then sort of as time goes on, you just add more and more to it.
Get a bit more creative with it.
Yeah.
It comes to that muscle memory after a while,
And now after a while, you just get a bit more adventurous with it.
What are the most popular stories these days?
Gruffalo.
I love Gruffalo so much. That was one of my favourite stories, but now I don't even need the book no more. You know what I'm saying? So,
That and the Gruffalo's Child.
Gruffalo's Child and Tiddler.
And the Room on the Broom.
Room on the Broom as well, yeah.
What do you get out of it?
for me, it's just nice to, I always, all the stories that I do, I kind of try and do them to the same standard as what I would do to I send to my kids. So I think it's difficult for us in here to do things for our kids. So I think it's important what we do. Yeah, I just think it's nice to send out the door good stories that is going to make a kid happy.
Yeah, me, I've got a personal thing because I came into prison when my daughter was only just about turning 5 months. She's about to turn 2, but I'm so far away from London where she hasn't come to see me, so I haven't had that. So when I've sent her stories of me, and then one time I've called her and she started calling me dad just because she recognised my voice. So from that, it just made me feel like, all right, if I can have that feeling, then pass it on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it makes it, you would want to do it now even better than before. Yeah.
How many stories can you get through in a day? If it's just audio?
It depends, because you've got good readers, you've got people that need assistant readers, so it could, and how long the stories are.
Yeah, sometimes it could be like half an hour, 45 minutes, other times it could be 2-3 hours, can't it? It just depends on...
But I think like the most stories I've probably got out in just one day with just audio, maybe about 6. Right. But that was probably because they were all good readers.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I really wanted to talk about. That's absolutely fine.